Okay, good talk, everyone. We'll pick up, as Saita said, today's daf is daf Ayin Ches, but we'll pick up 8 lines up at the 2 dots on daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, so says the Mishnah, we're continuing to talk about the shear, the size of what someone needs to carry out in order to... in order to be chayav for carrying up, what's the measure, what's the shear that he needs to carry out? So we say for shemen, for oil, kedei lasuch ever katan. What it takes, the amount of oil that it takes in order to anoint or to rub oil on a small ever, a small limb. And we're going to spend time understanding what does that mean, a small limb. So Amri debei Rav Yanai. So in the base measure of Rav Yanai, they said as follows. Shemen kedei lasuch ever katan shel katan ben yumo. That, it's a very small shear. The amount of shear, a shemen of oil that you could be chayav for carrying out is enough oil to rub or to put oil on the smallest or the small ever, the small limb of a katan who's one day old. So therefore the word katan basically is a reference, as Rashi will point out later, is a reference both to the aver. The aver can be a very small aver. Rashi says, echad mi pirkei etzba katana, one of the pirkei, one of the joints of the small finger, so like the pinky finger. So it's saying, katan goes both on the aver, that it's a very small aver, and also goes on who the person is. It's a very small person, meaning it's a tinok, it's a baby who's one day old. So according to the way the Bei Rav Yanai, the Beis Medrash Rav Yanai, they understood our Mishnah. It's a very small shear. It's enough oil to put on the joint of the pinky finger of a one-day-old baby. So very small. So ask the Gemara, wait a second. Meisre, I'll ask you from a Braisa as follows. The Braisa says, Shemen, oil, kedei losuch ever katon, vikaton ben yomo. It's the amount that's needed to rub oil on a small ever. And a katan ben yomo. So the way the Gemara is going to understand this is that this is an either or. The Braisa says a small aver and a katan who's one day old. So therefore we're going to understand this as follows. As Rashi says, even though he's going on something later, he's saying you have a choice. You can either apply katan to the baby, in which case you're allowed to have a very small human being, a baby, but you have to have a larger aver of the baby, so it's not like the baby's pinky, it's whatever is a large aver of the baby. Or you could have a small aver, but on a gadol. So like you could take the size of a pinky of an adult, so you have a choice. Basically the way we're understanding this braisa is when it says this and this, it means either or. Either pick what's katan, either the baby is a katan, the human being is a katan, and then the aver, the limb has to be larger. Or the person can be an adult, but you pick the very small aver of that person. So it says Gemara, my love, aver katan de gadol, the aver gadol shekatan ben yumo. Isn't that telling you either you could have a small aver of an adult, or you could have a larger aver of a brand new baby? So Amri luchot de Beit Rabbi Yanai. So the Beit Rabbi Yanai, the base measure of Rabbi Yanai, who says no, you're misreading that. Lo hachi kamer. This is what it's saying. Shemen kedei losuch ever katan shel katan ben yumo. So he's saying no. It's saying just like me. It's enough oil that it takes to anoint the small aver of a small katan. So how do they understand the brisa? The brisa says shemen kedei losuch ever katan. You have enough oil that you can rub on a small aver. If a katan, and when it talks about a katan, what kind of katan is it talking about? Ben yomo, or katan ben yomo, it's talking about a katan who's one day old. So the Beit Rabbi Yanai would say, no, the Braisa is saying exactly what I said, that as long as it's enough oil to rub on one joint of a brand new baby. So says the Gemara. Now this is actually interesting because this is not gonna be, we're gonna see it's not exactly the traditional structure of a lemo ketanoi, but says the Gemara, lemo ketanoi, maybe this that the Beit Rabbi Yanai said is really a machlokas tanayim. So what would that machlokas tanayim be? So says a braisa, shemen kedei losuch ever katan vikatan ben yumo. So this is the same language as the other braisa where it says vi and. So divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Nasan amar kedei losuch ever katan. So clearly there's some kind of machlokas going on here. Rav Nathan says it's aver katon, and the Tanakhama says shemen kedei losoch aver katon v'katon ben yomot. So the way we're going to understand this is now we're actually understanding the and in the way that the Beit Rav Yehonah answered. So we're going to say that the first opinion, that of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, is basically saying the same as the Beit Rav Yehonah, which is it's the amount of oil it takes to put on a small aver like the pinky of a small human being, a baby who's one day old. That's Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And Rav Nassim would be saying, "Kedei losuch aver katan." He says, no. In other words, you can pick one or the other. Either you can have an adult with a small aver, or you can have a small human being with a larger aver. So, my lab, hakamiflagi, isn't what's going on here between Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Rav Nassim? The Rav Shimon ben Elazar sava, Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds aver katan shel katan. It's a small aver and it's a small human being. You both. Rav Nassim saver, aver katan the gadol, oh aver gadol the katan. Either you could have a small aver on a large person or a large aver on a small person, but you can't have it both ways. You can't say katan applies to both the person and the aver. Aval aver katan, this continues the Gemara. I'm sorry, I keep saying it ahead, but then the Gemara says, Aval aver katan shel katan, shel katan ben yomo, but a small aver of a katan who's one day old, lo, that wouldn't work because you can't apply katan to both. So we see that the way we're understanding now, we have a machlokas tanayim, and the machlokas tanayim works with, the machlokas tanayim works with the first opinion of Shimon ben Elazar would be like the Beit Rav Yehonah. So now this is where the structure is a little weird of a lema katanai. Normally what happens with a lema katanai, we say, let's say there's a machlokas tanayim, and then we might say, no, really everyone agrees. In this case, we do something a little bit funny. We say, lo, it doesn't have to prove that there's a machlokas tanayim. Maybe what's going on here is the kuleyama aver katan de katan ben yomo lo. Maybe everyone, both tanayim, disagree with the Beit Rav Yehonah. So normally, lema katanayim, you say, no, it's not a machlokas tanayim. Now we're saying, no, it's not a machlokas tanayim because actually everyone disagrees with the Beit Rav Yehonah. So they're going to say, I could explain to you this brisa in a way then no one agrees with the Beit Rav Yehonah, and since the Braisa are Tanayim, and the Beit Rav Yehonah is Amorayim in a base medrash, so then we would be saying that they're wrong. So says the Gemara, that maybe everyone holds that an Aver Katan to Katan Ben Yuma Lo, that a small Aver of a small human being of a Katan doesn't work, top of Ayin Ches, V'leisa de Rav Yehonah, they don't hold of Rav Yehonah, V'hacha V'hacha Mefagi, maybe this Braisa, here's what they're arguing about. Rav Shimon ben Elazar savar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, "Aver katan de gadol, ve'aver gadol de katan ben yumo ki adadi ninu." He's saying you could either pick a small human being with a big aver or a big human being with a small aver. Those are the same measure. So now we're going back to understanding because remember Rav Shimon ben Elazar's words were with the vav. It was shemen kedei losuch aver katan ve'katan ben yumo. So before we were understanding that to mean all one statement. It's a small aver and a small person. And now we're saying, no, those are two measures. You could pick one or the other. You could have a small, so that's the viewer of Shimon ben Elazar. Pick one or the other, but they're the same measure. You can't say small aver and small human being. Rav Nassim savar, and Rav Nassim is coming to say something different. He's saying, aver gadol, aver katan the gadol in, aver gadol the katan ben yumo lo. So, and Rav Nassim, because remember, Rav Nassim's words were he just said, "Kedei losuch aver katan." So now we're going to understand it, that what was he coming to say? He was coming to argue on the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama of Rav Shimon ben Elazar was saying you could pick either a baby with a big aver or a small aver on an adult. And to that, Rav Nassim is coming to say, no, those aren't the same measure. And actually, the aver, the small aver of an adult will be will be larger than a large aver of a baby. So therefore, you can't, in other words, the Tanakhama was premised on them being the same. So it's saying, take your pick. He says, sorry. He says, only an aver katan works. It has to be an aver katan of a gadol. And you cannot use an aver gadol of a baby because that's going to be too small, and if you use that measure, you're gonna hold him chayev for hotzah when he's not really chayev. So what do we have? So we had a brisa with, clearly there was a machlokas going on. So the first suggestion was, it's a machlokas tanayim, that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, like, the Beit Rav Yehonah, that it can be a tiny aver on a tiny human being. And then we had Reb Nassan arguing, we're saying that he would say no, pick one or the other. So then we said, no, maybe both Tanaim disagree with the Beit Reb Yanai, and the Tanakama holds pick one or the other because they're the same measure. And Reb Nassan saying, no, a little baby is too small of a person and has to be a small aver on an adult. And therefore, the Beit Reb Yanai is wrong. So the way we initially understood that maybe it's Machlokas Tanaim would say the Beit Reb Yanai is right, and they represent one view in this Machlokas Tanaim. And then the way we're understanding it now is that the Beit Reb Yanai is wrong because both Tanaim and the Braisa agree that you cannot have a small aver of a small baby. So the Gemara says, my Havayala, so what's the conclusion? Which way is right? Is the Beit Reb Yanai one side of a Machlokas Tanaim, or is the Beit Reb Yanai just wrong? Says the Gemara, Tashma, come in here, the son that we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Now remember, in the Braisa, we were dealing with a case where Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, Shemek de losach ever katan vikatan ben yomo. So it says, so we've been deciding whether and means or whether it means and together. Meaning, so therefore we're saying as follows. So that's why we've had a question, because it says vav and. Does and mean and or does it mean or? Because it could mean either one. But now we're going to bring a braisa, the sanya. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Shemen kedei losuch ever katan shel katan ben yumo. He says that Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, this is a different braisa, says that it's oil that you can smear or put on the small aver of a small katan who's one day old. So now you see that Rav Shimon ben Elazar has a braisa that's exactly like the Beit Reb Yanai. So therefore, we're going to say that that in fact Lemaka Tanai is right, that the Beit Reb Yanai says it can be the size of a small aver on a small baby. Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the Braisa agrees with him. Rabbi Nassan disagrees, and Rabbi Nassan says, take your pick. Katan can apply either to the person or to the aver, but not to both. Okay, we're at the two lines, seven lines down from the top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, so continuing in our Mishnah with measurements that we use that a person would be chayav for taking them out into Rosh Hashanah. So says the Gemara, Mayim kedei loshuf behen et akilor, that water, the measure that you're chayav for taking it out, is as much as it takes to mix that water with kilor. Now, kilor is an interesting thing because kilor is both the base ingredient and also the finished product. But basically, you mix water with kilor. Kilor is something that you use to make some kind of salve or medicine. And the resulting thing is called kilor also. So we're saying the amount of water that someone's hired for carrying out is the amount of water that he would need to mix with this kilor in order to create the finished product of kilor. Now, just so we know, because it's important to know, because it's going to be relevant to what we're about to learn, kilor could be made by mixing with water, it could be made by mixing with animal's milk, it could be made by mixing with the milk of a woman, a nursing woman, or it could be made with wine. Those are all valid options for how you make this medicine called kilor. Okay, says the Gemara, Abaya says an interesting principle. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Michti, let's see. Ko milsa de shchicha, v'loy shchicha, adur rabbanan basar de shchicha l'kula. So he says, I'll translate it first and I'll explain. Anything that has something that's common and something that's not common, the Rabbanan go after the common one, even if it produces a kula. So what are we talking about here? So basically, each of these measures of what you're chayev for taking out into Rosh Hasharabim is a function of what's the use of that stuff, and then what's the use of that liquid or material, and then that's how you determine the minimum measure. So now, the Abaya is saying there's a rule as follows. Let's say you have a common usage and an uncommon usage. So which do you pick? And let's say the uncommon usage would be more chamor, would be more strict, would make a smaller measure, and therefore you'd be chayav for taking it out. So Abaya says a principle. If one thing is common and one's not common, the Rabbanan will go after the common one, even if it produces a leniency, the lekula, that it goes lekula. So we'll see examples of this in a minute. Continues Abaya, shchicha u'shchicha, other rabbanan basar de shchicha l'chumra. But if you have two uses of something, both of which are common usages, so then the rabbanan are going to pick the measure of the common usage that creates a stricter standard, meaning a smaller standard, meaning that you'd be chayev for taking out a smaller measure. So explains Abaye, I just told you two principles. If you have shchiach v'lo shchiach, something common and not common, you go after the common even if it produces a leniency. If you have two things that are common, you go after the one that produces a stringency in measure. So what are examples? Continues Abaye. Yayin shtiaso shchicha, refuaso lo shchicha. He says wine, the common usage of wine is to drink it. A less common usage is to use it for refuah. What kind of refuah are we talking about? Making this kilor. So you could use wine, or you could use milk, or woman's milk, or water. So therefore, it's not that common that people use wine, because wine is in fact expensive. So therefore, we have a usage of wine which would be for drinking, which would be revias, which is a pretty large shear. Or you could have the measure you use for a refuah for making this kilor, and that's going to be a very small measure because you just need some liquid wine to mix in to make this medicine. So which is it? So we're going to say, so one is shchiach, one is common, and one is lo shchiach, is not common. So azu rabbanan basar shtiyaso de shchicha lekula. So the rabbanan, according to Abaye's rule, consistent with Abaye's rule, picked the thing that's more common, which is drinking, and this produces a kula. Why? Because you're not chayav for going out with wine until you have a full revias. And that's a kula, because if we would go with the less common usage, it would be the little bit amount of wine that you need to mix to create this medicine would be enough to be mechayav you for going out. So we're picking the common over the uncommon, even though it produces a kula, in as much as you're not chayav for taking out wine until you take out a full revias. Another example of this, chalav achilaso shchicha, refuaso lo shchicha. Animal's milk, its achila is common, meaning that's normally what you do with milk, is you drink it. Using it for refuah is less common. Why? Because you could use mother's milk, or you could use water if you're making this medicine. So therefore, making medicine is an uncommon usage of milk. So therefore, when we choose, we have a common usage of drinking and uncommon usage of medicine. We're going to pick the common usage of drinking. And even though that produces a kula, and that's why in our Mishnah it said that milk, you're only chayav kidei lugma, if you have a cheekful or the amount you could swallow in one shot, we said. Because again, chachamim are going to pick the common usage over the uncommon, even though it produces a larger shear, which represents a leniency. So we say, I'm sorry, chalav achilasa shchicha refuasa lo shchicha, so other avarim basa achilasa lukula, you go after the achila lukula. Now we're going to see an example of Abaye's rule applied, where the second part of Abaye's rule, Abaye said that if you have two things that are both common, then we're going to pick the common one that produces a chumra. So how does that work? What's the example? Devash achiloso shchicha. If you have honey, it's very typical that you'll eat honey. But refuaso shchicha. But refuah, it's also common. Why is it common? So Rashi explains, because because if you remember that honey was something you used on some kind of boil or injury, and that's the only thing that cures it according to Rashi. So therefore, it's the only liquid that cures it. So therefore, for honey, it is used for eating, in which case you would have a larger shear, but it's also used for medicine to put on this boil. So which one are you going to pick? So you have two common usages. So we're going to say, when you have two common usages, you pick the more chomer one. So devash, it's achila shchiach and it's refu shchiach. So therefore, azor rabbanan basa refuasa lechumra. So therefore, the rabbanan go after the refuah to chumra. And that's why we said that honey, you're chayef for taking out the amount you put on this boil or this injury on your skin, which is much less. I mean, that's just dabbing some honey on. And that's much less than you would have, than you would be chayef for eating honey. But yet, because they're both common, according to Abaye's rule, we're gonna choose the one that's more chomer. So now Abaye runs into trouble because he had these principles, but now we're gonna find a halacha that doesn't seem to match his principles. He said, Elamayim, but water, michti, let's see. Shtiyaso shchicha, refuaso lo shchicha. He says, drinking is a common thing you do with water. Using it for refuah is not necessarily common. Now, even though we said before, Wine is not common because it's expensive. Milk is not common and you could use water. But the truth is it's not that common with water either, because there are some people who do it with yayin, some people do it with woman's milk, and some people do it with animal's milk. So you have a case where drinking water is a very common usage of water, almost, you know, always. And you have some subset of cases of making this medicine where they use water. So according to Abaya's rule, what should happen is mayim should be the measure of drinking and not the measure of making medicine, because one is shchiach, drinking, and one is not shchiach. So you go even lekula with the shchiach. So my time azor rabbanam basar refuasa lechumra. So says Abaya, but according to my rules, why is it that with mayim we said it's the amount of water that you would use to mix this medicine, which is obviously a smaller and therefore more chamor, more stringent measure, because we're going to be mechayev someone for a much smaller amount. What happened to our rules? You have a common and an uncommon. You should go after the common, lekula, and yet we go after the uncommon, the making the medicine, lechumra. So Amar Abaya, so Abaya answers his own question, and he gives two answers. So the first one is, begalila shanu, that we learned this halacha, about these measures in the Galil, or at least it was taught that covers the Galil. And the Galil, the north, is very, very poor. And therefore, people there would never use wine or milk for making this medicine, because that's valuable and they're going to save it. Rather, they're going to use water that's cheap. So therefore, what do you have? That it becomes that water is the common usage for medicine. So now we went from initially thinking the common usage is drinking and medicine is uncommon. We're saying, no, the drinking water is common, but so is making it with medicine, because we're dealing in the Galil where they're poor and they always use water for their mixing the medicine. So now you have two common things. And what's Abaya's second part of Abaya's rules? If you have two things that are common, we're going to go with the smaller measure, with the more chumer measure, lechumra. And so therefore, if we have a choice of applying to water or a vias that is drinking, or the little bit of water that you mix in to make this medicine, we're going to go with the amount you mix in for making the medicine, because it's shchiach and shchiach. It's two common things, and we're going to go lechumra with the measure. So that's the first answer to why water is not a violation of Abaya's principles for figuring this out. Rava says, I'll give you a different answer. Afilu tema b'shar mekomos. It could be that the halacha is that we're going to choose water for mixing with medicine, even in other places, not the Galil, where they're so poor, but even regular places. Why? Because we're going to say, we assumed that water, drinking, is the common usage of water, and that medicine is a non-common usage. Says Rava, I would tell you, even in other places, not poor like Galil, Kiddush Shmuel, we're going to go like Shmuel, Damar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Kol shikyeno masu metalale, levar mimaya de masu v'loim metalale. He says as follows, all drinks, masu, they heal, like we say, asuso, you should feel better. They heal, umetalale, but the problem is they cause damage to the eye, because this kilor that we're talking about is a medicine people put in their eye. So if you mix it with wine or you mix it with milk, right, it's going to be thicker, and that's going to end up causing a problem for the eye. It will heal the eye from whatever he needed to put in kilor, but Rashi says over time it will degrade his vision. Now, except for water, if you do that with wine or with milk, mother's milk or animal's milk, it's going to hurt the eye. But water, it's not going to hurt the eye. The matzu v'lo metalali, because it's going to heal the eye and it's not going to hurt the eye. Rashi says because it basically, he says water is adifa mikulu, better than all of them. The matzu, because it heals v'lo metalali, it doesn't injure the eye. Shenivlo'in miyad, because either the water gets absorbed very quickly, on nigavim maher, or the water dries very quickly, it doesn't glue or doesn't cause an adhesion on the eye, which is going to affect the vision. So therefore what? According to Rava, we're back to another reason why everyone uses water for medicine and they don't use milk or wine. Because while it is true that you could use milk or wine to make this medicine, it's going to hurt the eye in the long run. So therefore, people stopped doing it and they only used water for making this medicine. Once you have that, so you have a case where you have water that's commonly used for medicine and it's commonly used for drinking. And we know a bias second rule, if you have two things that are both common, you're going to pick the one that's a chumrah, which is going to be the smaller measure of using this water for making the medicine, which is a small amount of water that you're chayav for taking out. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but there's a very fascinating sugya that relates to the following, which is the halachas katana says a halacha about whether the idea that if you drink on Yom Kippur, if you drink water, whether you're chayav kares. And he makes an argument that you should not be chayav kares, because water does not fill someone up. And what's his proof? So because we know that if you're setting up an Eruv, if you're moving your tchum and you have to put two foods in a certain place to set your shvisa where you should be for Shabbos, the halacha is that you cannot use water as one of those sources. Because water is not mazon. It's not sustenance. It doesn't sustain you. And so therefore the halachas katana says that you shouldn't be chayev kares, if you drink water on Yom Kippur. This created tremendous debate because some people said he didn't even mean it. He was just saying it as pilpul. Others said he did mean it. And some people distinguished between Erev versus Yom Kippur eating. People get into the curative powers of water. All sorts of very interesting questions. But one of the things that's interesting is if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Chananel, which is on the side of the Gemara, different Gemaras have it in different places. But the Rabbeinu Chananel says, it quotes Rava Amar. Rava says even water in other places other than the Galil, the shear is what it takes to mix the kilor kiddush Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says kulum shakini malu v'sadi bar min maya de malu v'gardi. He says water is better than the others because it doesn't hurt the eye. V'chein, he says, and so toref hadvarim, like the sum of the thing, like at the end of the day, she'ein ha'mayim so'adin kimine maichol, that water does not satisfy like other foods, eler ikar shti'asan ke'ein refuahi, but their ikar drinking is like refuah, lefikach shi'uran kerefuah. The way the Rabbeinu Chananel learns our Gemara is that in fact what he's saying is that medicine is the primary usage of water, because water, so he's actually saying that medicine is the common usage of water, and drinking water, even though we do a lot of it, is not really a usage of water because it doesn't help you at all. It's not mazon. It doesn't help. So there are people, the Megadim Chadashim and the Piskei Tshuva, bring this Rabbeinu Chananel as a proof for the halachas katanas halacha. So this is a fascinating sugi. It actually has some relevance, halacha lemaisa, which is the following. Which is, if someone was ill on Yom Kippur and they had to drink and their rabbi was telling them to drink, so it's a big dispute depending how seriously they take the halachas katanas opinion as to whether you would tell someone better to drink water than to drink milk. So some people, or milk or any other drink. So some people are very quick to dismiss the halachas katanas. They say he didn't mean it or he's wrong. So therefore drink whatever you want to drink if you have to drink on Yom Kippur. And others are going to say that, look, there's an opinion here that we should take into account. And therefore, if you're going to have to drink with rabbinic sanction on, or medical sanction on Yom Kippur, you should drink water, because at least water, there's an argument that one who drinks that on Yom Kippur is not chayav kares. So interesting sugya, and this Rabbeinu Chananel, the way he explains our Gemara, some people bring that as a proof to the halachas katanas that one is not chayav for drinking water on Yom Kippur. Okay, continues the Gemara. We're about the middle of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Tudat v'shar kol hamashkin b'revias. So we said, look, we listed off a bunch of things like milk for what it takes to swallow, wine is a revias, water what it takes to mix, but we said any other mashkin is revias. So Tanu Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan learned dam v'chom minei mashkin b'rivias. So our mission didn't discuss dam, blood, but it says, okay, blood is like all other mashkin, and it's going to be b'rivias. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, now Rav Shimon ben Elazar is not coming to argue and say dam is always b'rivias. He's going to bring some exceptions, which are not necessarily universally accepted, but he's going to bring some cases where dam, blood, has a smaller measure than a revius. So what does he say? Dam kedei likcho ba'ayin achas. That he says, dam is the measure that one would put in one eye, that he would smear in one eye. Shekein kochlin levarkis. So he says, because people put it in their eye, a little drop in one eye for varkis. Varkis is... I spent a little bit of time looking around. The way the Mefarshim seem to explain it is that it's a cataract. Although some understand the next thing that's going to come up to be a cataract. But the critical thing for our purpose is that it's something on the surface of the eye, on the outside of the eye. Umayninhu, what blood do you use when you stick in the eye for this cataract or whatever it is? Dama de tarnegoles bara. The blood of a wild rooster or wild rooster, that's the amount of blood you would use. So therefore, for that type of blood, the blood of this rooster, the amount that you would be chayav for bringing out is just the amount that someone would put into one eye to fix this varkis illness. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, dam kedei likcho bo ayin achas. That blood, a different kind of blood that you would do for just the amount it takes to put in one eye, sheken kochlin li yarud, that so they would do for yarud. Rashi brings two versions. One is that it's tivlol, which is some kind of eye illness. He brings another one that says that it's churur, which is white dots that are in the eye of an animal, which we say is a mum by a bechor. So it's some kind of eye illness, but the difference is if it's inside the eye, it's not on the surface of the eye. Umay nihu, so what kind of blood do you use for that? Dama de krushtina. That is the dama of this krushtina. Rashi says it's an atleif, a bat, but it's not actually referring to a bat of the kind that flies. It's one of the shratzim, one of the rodents that is similar in some sense. It's like a cousin of the bat who flies. So in any event, this is the animal they would use for this blood, for this inner eye condition. So continues the Gemara, v'simanech, your simen is gav legav, bara lebara. So he says, that which is inside is for inside. So and that which is outside is for outside. So he says, the inner malady, let's just assume it's the dots on the eye, although Rashi doesn't like it, and Tosis doesn't like it either, but let's just assume it's whatever it is. It's this tivlol or it's the white dots in the eye. That's on the inside. And therefore, what you're using is this krushtina, which is an animal that's found in inhabited areas and cities. Versus that which on the outer surface, which we said is a cataract, is going to use the blood of that which is out of town, which is this wild rooster. Wild roosters don't exist in civilized and populated areas. So it's saying the animal that's outside, which is this wild rooster, is going to be for the eye illness that's on the outside of the eye, and the eye illness that's on the inside of the eye is going to be with this krushtina, which is some kind of animal that is present in populated areas. Says the Gemara. Okay, so says the Braisa. So we're still in this Braisa that's talking about blood. And the Braisa says, Bamedvar Marmurim, Bimotzi. When someone takes that out, Abel Bimatsnia Koshu Chayev. But if someone hides it, even a little bit, is Chayev. We're gonna see in the Gemara in a second what this means, cause it's a little bit of an enigmatic statement. So let's just keep going. Rabbi Shimon says, Bamedvar Marmurim, when are these things said? Bimatsnia, when someone has hidden it, but someone who takes out is not chayev except the revius. So hopefully we remember a couple of days ago where we encountered this, this machlokas here has to do with the following. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that generally speaking, that if you carry something outside, it's gonna be, the main shear like a revius. He says, if you personally stored something and that showed that you hid it, meaning you were holding on to it. That showed that for you, there's a smaller amount that you still consider useful. So Rabbi Shimon would tell you all these small measures that we've learned are basically addressing people who have in the past saved that size of measure, because that shows for them it's an important measure, but less than the amount that any normal person would save, we're not going to count that. So Rabbi Shimon has three levels. There's up to a certain point that no one keeps like that kind of measure, no normal person. So then even if you choose to keep it, that does not show that it's chashuv to you. Above the size that some people might keep, it depends. If you keep that, so then you'd be chayav for taking out that shear. But if others keep it and you don't, you're not going to be chayav. And then a revius, everyone agrees it's chayav. That's Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim, which we're going to see is really Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, they hold as follows. That all these shiurim they give in the Mishnah, that's the shear for taking it out. But if you personally store an amount less than that, even if it's an amount that no one else stores, you're chayav because the fact that you stored it showed that it was chashuv to some smaller amount. But if you take it, if you're just taking it out and you've never stored that amount, you're not going to be chayav unless it's a revius, right? Okay, so we have basically our machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Umodim chachamim l'Rabbi Shimon b'motzei shofchin l'shus harabim sheshiurim b'revius. Now this is not, as best as I can tell, a difference in halacha. It's a difference in metzias. Meaning it's an agreement in metzias. The chachamim are saying to Rabbi Shimon, I agree with you that when you're taking out shofchin is when you're taking out water that you would normally pour out, so it's wastewater, water that you have no use for, dirty water, so that if you take it out to Rishus HaRabim, that the shear is a revius. So basically, all they're saying is, even the Tanakama, who is sometimes mechayev people for taking a lesser shear than a revius, regardless of whether they stored or didn't, in the case of wastewater, he does not have a smaller shear, because there's no use of it other than once you get to revius. We'll talk in a minute about what use you have when you get to a revius. Okay, so that's the brisa. I think the main reason we brought it was for the beginning, to give different shiurim of dam, but we're going to now analyze the latter part of the brisa. Continues the Gemara, three lines from the bottom of the thin lines. So Amar, we said, b'medvar marmurim, b'motzei, avo b'matzniya koshu. So we said, the Tanakama said, when do we say these smaller shiurim? Is when you carry out. But if you hide, then you're chayev even a tiny bit. So ask the Gemara, this is what I was saying is enigmatic. Atu matznia lav motzehu? Says, wait a second. When we talk about a guy hiding, it's also the guy who carries out. No one's chayev for hiding hiding is a funny term, but that's just what matznia means. It means that you've stored, that no one's chayev for storing anything. You're only chayev when you take it out. So we're debating about whether you're chayev for the shear. Why does it call one person the hider and one the taker outer? They're both taker outers. One takes out a shear that they've never stored before, and one takes out a shear that they've stored before. But why are you calling one person the person who takes out and one person the one who hides? Even the one who hides is not chayev unless he takes out. So they're really both people who are taking out. So Amar Baya, Hachu b'mayaskina, what are we talking about here? B'talmud she'amar lo rabo lechu panali makom l'suda. So it is master, and we're not talking about a Rebbe and a Talmud. Why? The Mefarshim say, Rashi says it's talking about like an apprentice to some kind of apprentice in professions. Why not a Rebbe? Normally that's what we call a Talmud and Rebbe, because the Rebbe here told him to do something wrong. He told him to take something out to Rishus HaRabim that he wasn't supposed to. So this master told the apprentice, go make me a place for a suda. Halach upanalo davar chashiv. I'm sorry. Halach upanalo davar chashiv lakol. Chayav ilave. So he says, so if he went and took out something for the master that is chashiv according to everyone's measure, which would be like, let's say, a cheek full of milk, right? So then he's chayev. Why? Because he took out something that his master, that everyone, this is going in the Tanakama, that everyone would agree is a normal measure for that thing like milk. Now what if he took out a lesser measure than would normally be taken out, like, for example, less milk than a cheekful, just to use an example. So then it depends. So if his master, if this guy who sent him out, sometimes stores less than a cheekful of milk, so we'll say it showed that he considers that to have a use, and it's chashuv to him. So because it's chashuv to the master, the apprentice is going to be chayav for taking it out. But if the master never stored a smaller amount, then he's not chayav. So basically, this is the Rav Shimon ben Elazar who argues with the Rav Shimon that we learned a few days ago, is saying the same thing. He's saying, if you take one of these smaller than Revi'ah Shiurim, so if you take that shear, everyone says you're chayav, everyone according to Tanakama, and if you take a smaller shear than that, like less than a cheekful of milk, for example, it depends whether the master has demonstrated before that he has taken that out or that he has stored that amount. If so, then the apprentice is chayav for taking it out, and if the master has never stored that amount, so then there's nothing to look at in terms of the master, so then you just look at the apprentice. The apprentice obviously didn't store anything, and so therefore he's not chayav because it's less than a shear of taking out. Okay. So really what we're just confirming is how the Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon is his same disputant in previous, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, second wide line. Amar Mar. We said everyone agrees, wastewater, you're not going to be chayav for less than a revius because it has no use. Ask the Gemara, shochin lemai chazu. Says, forget a revius. What about more than a revius? What are you going to do with smelly water, bad water? Says the Gemara, Reb Yirmiyah, legavo behenes atit. You can use bad water just to mix, to make clay, or plaster. Right? Because you don't care what kind of water is in there. You just want the moisture in order that the plaster or the clay should stick. So the Gemara says, wait a second. I have a problem with telling me that that's the measure, that a revius is the amount that you would make clay, and less than that, you would not be chayav for wastewater. Well, Tanya, we learned in a braisa, tit kde lasos behen pi kor, that the amount of clay that you're chayav for taking out into Rishus HaRabim is that amount of clay that you would put on the P core. What is a P core? So a P is a mouth. A core is something that, like we say, kor habarzel, which is it's basically something that you would use to melt, metals. So the way it would be, it would have like charcoal typically on the bottom, and you'd put the metal in and it would liquefy the metal. And how would you keep the fire hot? You would have a hole through which you would stick a mapuach, which would, it's like a bellows. It would put air into there to make the fire stronger so that it would melt the metal in this core. So therefore, what does that have to do with clay? That when they would make this hole so that they could stick in the air, the bellows, they would put clay around the edge so that it should have a good fit. That's what we're talking about. So we see that amount of clay that you would use to create a ring or a surface around this hole that you would stick the bellows in, that's how much clay you're chayav for carrying out. So ask the Gemara, you told me that in order to use water, wastewater, what do you use it for? You use it for clay, and it has to be a revius. But wait a second, if clay you're chayav for taking out only the little amount you need to create this ring for the core, so then you should be chayav for much less wastewater because you're going to use it to make the clay for this core. So the Gemara is assuming in the question that if there's an amount of clay that you're chayav for taking out, so then there's a corresponding amount of water that's needed to make it, you should be chayav for taking that water out. So it's a stira because our Mishnah says everyone agrees you can't do anything with less than a revius of water, but yet you see that water is used for clay, and clay you can make this little ring for the core. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, hada migval, hada lo migval. He says, no, there's a difference. Just because there's a shear that you take out for clay doesn't mean that that's the same shear for making clay. So he says as follows, if I have a big mound of clay or plaster or whatever it is, and I'm going to take a little bit and I'm going to use that to create the ring for this bellows to come in and fit well, so then that's the amount of clay I'm using, so I'm chayiv for taking out that amount of clay to Rosh Hasharabim, because it's already been formed. The plaster or the clay is already formed and I'm just using it. So therefore, that's the amount of clay I'm chayav for taking out for. But that's not the amount of water that I'm chayav. Why? Because no one is going to take water and clay and make clay just enough for this ring. Hadalo Migdal, where you didn't have clay already made or plaster already made, l'fi she'ein adam tareach legabel tit lasas pikor, because no one's gonna make a small batch of clay and use a little bit of wastewater in order to just to make this ring. Rather, what do? They make a big mound of clay or plaster. They use it for other things, and this is one of the things they use it for. So therefore, water that's bad water can only be, the only use that you have is making clay. No one makes clay less than using a revius of water. So that's the measure for making, for wastewater that you carry out if you carry out a revius. Separately, if someone already has clay, they might use that clay to create this ring for the core. So therefore, the amount of clay you take out would be the amount that it takes to make this ring. So clay is the ring amount. Bad water is a revius because no one's making less than that size batch of clay. Says the Mishnah. Hamotzi chevel kedelasos ozen lakupa. So we're going on with more, more products, more things. What's the measure that you're going to use, that you're going to use for them? So we say if someone takes out a rope, it's enough that he would make an ozen, an ear for a kupa. A kupa is like a box or a basket. It's something you would carry things in. So you make a rope handle by which to carry this box. So therefore, that's the minimum size of rope that you'd be chayav for carrying out, is that which you would use to make a handle for this box or this basket. Gemi, what is gemi? Gemi is like some reeds or brush that you could weave or do something with. So kedei lasos tloi lanafa lekvara. Nafa and kvara are different forms and different sizes of something you would use to sift out, like flour or something larger. Nafa and kvara are two different sizes of that. So gemi is this reed or brush you would use it's enough you would use to make a handle, not to carry it, but like a little amount that you would hang it with. So it's like like a little ring, something you could hang it on, versus the handle for the basket is the handle that you put your hand in. Okay, so that's, one is rope, one is gemi. Rabbi Yehuda says, k'dei lito mimenu midas minol l'katan. So he says, no, both for rope and for gemi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the minimum amount, which is a much smaller amount, which would be what? Is the shear that you would take a measurement of a child's shoe. So Rashi explains that what would happen if you wanted to get shoes for your child, you didn't take him to the shoemaker, you would take a piece of string, you would measure the child's foot, you'd cut the string, so now you have a string that's as long as the child's foot, and you would take that string to the shoemaker and say, here, make me shoes of this length. And that's how they would do it. So that's a smaller usage, and they could use either gemi or chevel, because it didn't have to be strong. Gemi is weaker than chevel, but it didn't have to be strong. It's just showing you a measurement of a length. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a smaller size that has a functional use, and that's why you should be chayev if you take out even the amount that a father would bring to the shoemaker to say, make my son or my daughter a shoe. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Niyar, paper, kedei lichtov alav kesher mochsin. That you the size of paper that you're chayav for carrying out is that which you would write a receipt for the moches. A meches is a tax. That's the amount of paper that you're chayav. V'hamotzi kesher mochsin chayav. And someone who takes out the an actual tax receipt is chayav for hotzah on Shabbos. We'll see in a second why, or at least according to Tosfos, why the Mishnah mentions that specifically, that if you take out a kesher moches, you're chayav. But the basic idea is that if, what did a kesher moches look like? What did a tax receipt look like? So the Gemara explains, we're gonna see that it means they used to write on this piece of paper two larger, Rashi says, they would write two osios, the two letters that are larger from two osios of ours, meaning it was a little bit, it was two letters, but bigger than we write two letters. So it would be like, two letters on a piece of paper. That's the size we use. Now, what did you use? Rashi explains that if you had, let's just look at the bottom. Rashi, Kesher Shamochsin, you have a tax receipt. Yesh lecha adam shenosan amechas l'roch shanar b'makam echad. That sometimes you have a guy that there used to be people who would say, if you want to cross this river, you got to give me money. You got to pay a tax. So, he would give the money to the guy at the river. Oh, mochalob matana. Or the guy was in a good mood and he said, okay, you could go without paying the tax. And he gives him some kind of receipt to give to the guy who's stopping people at the water. So basically, it's saying it's a receipt or a gift that's telling you you paid the head guy and now you could give it to the guy at the river and you'll be able to cross the river without a problem. So that's a tax receipt. It's a very small piece of paper and they would write two letters on it and that's what, so therefore that's the amount you're chayev for taking out in Rosh Hashanah. Mayim chesam beis. Near machuk, look, what happens if you have a paper that, erased? So this paper, you don't write on paper once it's been written on once before. So you're not going to use it as paper. So we need a different shear. So what can you do with that paper? So it says the Mishnah, k'dei lichroich al tzloiches ketana shel plaiton. So we say, what can you do with written on paper? You could make it like a seal or a stopper for a bottle of plaiton. We talked about this before. This was the balsam that they would put around their necks when they smelled bad. So they'd have those little bottle around their neck that to make them as a deodorizer to make them smell better. So you used to use old paper to kind of stop that up or put a seal on it. So that's the amount of old paper you're chayev for taking out into Rosh Hashanah. Continues the Mishnah. Or k'dei lasos kamiya, leather or skin. They used to make a kamiya. We've talked about a kamiya before. Kamiya either had certain psukim written in it or it had a certain plants or something that was supposed to heal someone. We've talked about kamiyas before, whether they work or they don't work, and that has to do with whether you could carry them out. But the point is, they would put a kamiya, either the parchment or the spices or herbs, they would put into a piece of leather, into ar, so that's the size of leather you need to carry out to be chayev for doing that. Continues the Gemara, klak de lichto, of the Mishnah, klak de lichto v'lov, parsha ketana shebetfilin, sheishma Yisrael. That if you have klaf, which is parchment, that you would have enough to write on it the smallest parsha of tefillin, which is the parsha of Shema Yisrael. So that's the amount of klaf you need. Now, mind you, that's a bigger shear than a piece of paper. So Tosfos explains why on the beginning, on Amud Aleph, at the bottom, we said that if someone takes a tax receipt out, they're chayev, because the Tosfos explains, the Mishnah needs to tell us that because if you have a tax receipt, even if it's written on klaf, you're chayav for taking it out, even though klaf normally is the size of what's used for tefillin. But in any event, that's just Tosfos explaining that extra word. But if you're taking out klaf, it has to be the amount that you could take to write the parasha of Shema Yisrael on it. Dio, ink, k'dei lichto beis osios. If you have enough ink to write two letters, that's enough. Why two letters? Rashi explains because they used to use two letters. For what purpose? He says, L'rosha mashtei chulios shel keli, if you would have, beams of a structure, so you would write a number. This is beam aleph, this is beis, and that would help you know where to put them, or if you had different pieces of a implement, same thing, you would mark them with letters. So once you have two, it's serving an important function, because it's showing you put this beam next to this beam. So once you have two letters are written, it's accomplished something, so that therefore, someone who carries out enough ink to be able to make those two markings to teach them how to reassemble something, that's considered a valid use. Continues the Gemara, kichol, which is this eye cream, k'dei lichol ayin achas. As much as it takes to put the mascara or whatever it is on one eye, Rashi says the Gemara is going to ask, who does one eye of this? So we'll see that in Nir Sashem, I think, on Monday. Continues the Gemara, devek, the glue, k'dei litim barosha shafshef. The Gemara will explain what this is, so we're not going to deal with it now. Zephes or gafres, k'dei lasos nekev. that zephes is pitch, gufres is sulfur, in order to make a hole. Rashi explains, it's actually not to make a hole, it's to fill a hole, but Rashi explains that what would happen is that that if you had something, Rashi says, if you have a kli shenosnubo kesef chai, you put in live silver, so I think it means melted silver, sosim piv bezefes abegafris, that you would seal it up with pitch or with sulfur, v'nokiv besochastima nekiv dak lahotzibo, and then you would make in the inside the pitch or the sulfur, you'd make another hole, and basically you'd pour it out. So if you're dealing with liquid silver, it's valuable, so you don't want to pour out a lot, so you would put a stopper, and you make a hole in the stopper, and that's what you would pour it through. So if you're going to take enough zephes or gufres to cover that hole, that's the amount that you're going to be chayav for carrying out. Continues the Gemara, Shava, kedei litin al pinekev. Shava, in this particular case, the Gemara is going to tell us is dealing with if you take wax in order to be a stopper on a barrel of wine, that's the amount of wax would be the amount you would use for such a stopper. Kedei litin al pinekev katan, to put on the mouth of a small hole. Charasis, Rashi says, is levena kisusha, a ground up or a crumbled brick, so basically mortar dust. What do you do with that? Kedei lasos pi kor shel tzarfei zahav. So kor, we talked about before, is this thing that you heat up metals to make them liquid. So now we're talking about liquefying gold, and they would put this dust of bricks in some fashion to help with that the mouth of the I guess again where you put the bellows in. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kedei lasos pitput, that which you need to make pitput. Rashi says, pitput is rego lamaka moshev akur, shayim ashivin al kain ha'asi lakach, kigon tripod. He says, basically, they used to stick the core, this thing that had liquefied metal in it, it was, I guess, hot, so they stuck it on a tripod. Rashi seems to be saying that if you make the regel of it, or a base of some sort to put the core, that's the amount of ground up brick that you would use. And therefore it's a smaller shear that you're chayav for taking a ground up brick. Subin, if you have bran, kedei litan al pi akor shel tzarfei zahav, again, somehow was used around the mouth of this core that they used to use for liquefied gold. Sid, plaster, kedei lasud, Sid is like lime. Sid lasud ketana shebebanos, that you would use to put on a young girl, the amount you would smear on in order for her to remove hair. So I think it's lime. It's something that they used to use as a method of hair removal. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Lasud Kilkul, Rabbi Nechem Yamar Kedei Lasud Undepi. All of these are different measures, which Yemir Hashem will see on Monday, about different ways that women would remove hair, and so it's a question of which one is the right shear for carrying out. We'll learn more about that on Monday. Continues the Gemara. So, if you remember, we said a rope has to make a handle, but gemi, it's enough if it makes a little thing that you just hang it on. So says the Gemara, chevel nami l'chayev kedei lasos t'loy l'napu l'kavara. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why not say that rope is also a very small measure, just the amount it makes to make a little handle that you could hang one of these sifting devices. In other words, why did you make it a longer measure? As I said before, one that's a handle, they have to stick your hand in. Maybe it's just a little thing that you hang it on. So why, if you're saying gemi, it's enough to make a little hanging hook, why is it for a rope you need to actually make a handle to a basket? The Gemara says, kivin decharek b'mana lo avde inshi. That since the rope is very strong, and it's gonna rub against the wood, and it's gonna cause the wood to become cracked or broken, and so therefore, they didn't use rope for that. They used gemi, which was soft, so gemi gets a measure of this very small thing that you hang it on. Rope, the smallest thing they would use it for, was to make a handle for some kind of box or a basket. Tana Rabbanan, hutzin, kedei lasos ozen lasal, tfifa mitzras. Okay, so hutzin are some kind of palm branch that they would make ozen, a handle for a sal kefifa mitzras, which I think is, it was made with a certain part of the of the, it's a basket that's made with a certain part of a palm tree. I think it might be the wood, the bark. But in any event, you use these palm leaves to create a handle for this kind of basket. Siv, Rashi explains, is a something that would grow shegadol saviv adekel ke'ein malbush. It was something that would grow around a palm tree, like a piece of clothing. V'nichrach svivoisav v'oila. It wraps itself around the tree and goes up. So basically, it's talking about like a climbing vine of some sort that used to be on a palm tree. So siv, acherim amrim, acherim say kedei liten al pi mashpech katan l'sanin es hayayin. So he says, what's the measure that they used to use this vine, that they would put it on something that they were pouring wine through, and basically the vine would be at the bottom, and so as the wine would pass through, this vine would stones or refuse or whatever. Basically, it would filter the wine. That's the measure of sieve. Revav, Rashi says, what's revav? He says it's either shuman or shemen. So it's either fat or oil. But what would you do with it? Kedei lasuch tachas aspigin ketana. That you would put it beneath aspigin ketana. Rashi says is rekik. It's like a wafer shenosn betanar that you would put in the oven. V'tachin tachtov, that you would smear this oil or this fat on the bottom of this baked good, because they would stick it on the wall of the oven, and this way it would come off. So in any event, we're saying that that's the amount of fat or oil that you're chayev for carrying out, because the amount you would use to put this aspigan, this wafer. So now the Gemara says, well, wait a second, it matters what size the wafer is, because obviously a big wafer needs a lot more oil than a small wafer. So the Gemara says, v'kama shiura kesela. The size of the wafer is like a sela, which is a coin. Ask the Gemara about Tanya, we learned in a braisa kigregeres. Wait a second, you're telling me it's a coin, but we learned elsewhere that it's the size of a dried fig. So the Gemara says, idividi chachiruhu, that's the same thing. The size of a dried fig and the size of a sela are the same thing. So we're talking about a wafer that's the size of a dried fig and also the size of a sela, and that you would put the amount of oil you're chayav for, or fat, is the amount you would put on the bottom of that to stick it against the wall of the oven. Mochin. So we've talked about mochin many times. We talked about it recently in Shabbos, where people put it in their ear, or they use it as a feminine pad or whatever it is. But mochin, I think, is saying, so it's some kind of fabric. So what's the smallest measure that you're chayav? Could they last as kadr katana, to make a small ball? So I guess like a cotton ball. The kama shiuro, how, what size is this cotton ball you're talking about? Says the Gemara, ke'egos, like the size of a nut. Continues the Gemara. Niar, kedei lichtav ala kesher mosim. We said paper, your chayev, Rashi explained on Amud Aleph, paper was made out of reeds. So your chayev, the amount that it takes, the amount of space you need to create a tax receipt. So Tana, so we learned in a braisa, kamar kesher mosim, what's the size of this tax receipt? Shtei osios, two letters. V'raminu, asked the Gemara, hamotzi niyar chalok, im yeshba kedei lichtav shtei osios chayev, im lav pater. So it says, wait a second, it says that someone who takes out clean paper, if there's enough to write two letters, he's chayev, and if not, he's pater. So what's the problem? The problem is, it just says, write two letters. It doesn't say two large letters, and we had said the letters on the tax receipt are larger. So I'm Rav Sheshes, my shtei osios, shtei osios shel kesher mosin. The Rav Sheshes says, when the Braisa says two letters, even though it didn't clarify that it meant two larger letters, it meant two larger letters. So it's not a stira. Rav Amar, Rav says, shtei osios didan ubeis achiza, dahainu kesher mosin. Rav says, no, when it said two osios, it meant two osios like ours, which are smaller than a kesher mosin, but it also assumed that there was enough space to hold on to the paper separate from where the letters are written. So therefore, he says, that's the same as a tax receipt. So we said a tax receipt. Now the Braisa seemed to say that it's enough if it has our kind of letters, not the big letters. So the first answer is, no, it means big letters. The second answer is, no, it means small letters, but then it's also requiring that you have a little bit of to hold on to it in order to be able to look at those letters. So that's why the letters could be smaller and you're still chayav. Now you might ask, well, wait a second. Doesn't the tax receipt also need to be, also needs a place to hold on to it? So Rashi explains, no, it doesn't, because the way the tax receipt was, it was small, it would be in his hand, and he would show it to someone, but he wasn't holding it up. So therefore, tax receipt, it was basically two larger letters that filled the entire paper, or it could be two smaller letters, but with a little area that you could hold it. So that's the second answer, that's Rava's answer. The Gemara asks, Meisei, I'll ask you a question, Hamotzi Niyar Machuk Ushtar Perua, what if someone takes out an erased piece of paper or a shtar that it was already paid? So it's a useless piece of paper. So we learned before that, that you don't write on that. So in Yesh Beloven Shalo, Kedei Lichto Shtei Osios, so he says, if there is in the Loven, the white part of it, which Rashi says is the Gvil, the margins, if there's enough room in the margin to write Shtei Osios, so he says, okay, old paper you can't write on. So what are you chayav for taking it out? Either if it's the size you would use to stop up or to put a seal on a bottle of balsam oil, we talked about that earlier in the Mishnah, or if there's enough room in the margin to write two letters. So now the Gemara says, v'yam lav, and if there isn't, if it's not usable as a stopper for a balsam bottle, and there isn't room to write two letters, that's pater. So now, we say, bishlomo l'Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is the one who answered the stira from the Braisa. They're saying, anytime it says two letters, it means two large letters, just like a tax receipt. So he says, according to Rav Sheshes, it works out well. So then it's fine. So then we'll say the Braisa that talks about if you had an old contract or you had an erased piece of paper, that if there's enough room in the margin for two letters, it means two larger letters. So that's not a steer. That's how Rav Sheshes would answer it. Rava, who answered the earlier Braisa and said, why is it that it says shtei osios and doesn't say two larger osios, two larger letters, is because it's two smaller letters with space to hold it. He says, the Hainu Kesher Mosin is the same, that's the same as a tax receipt. He says, wait a second. Hacha, Beis Achiza, Lo Tzarech. So he says, I have a problem, according to you, Rava, because you're saying that when you were setting the minimum shear of a paper, you said it has to be two letters smaller plus a place to hold, which is the same as two letters on the tax receipt, which doesn't need a place to hold, right? So he says, but wait a second, now we have a braisa that's talking about an old shtar or an erased piece of paper. So, and it says you only need to write two letters. So if two letters mean two larger letters, it's fine. But if two letters means two smaller letters, in this case, you don't need a beis achiza, you don't need a place to hold on to the little paper with two letters, because you have a whole shtar to hold on to. You have a whole erased piece of paper. So then if the margin says you only need two letters, and two letters could mean smaller letters, then there, you already have a beis achiza, so now you have a problem because you see a new measure that says you could use smaller letters. Says the Gemara, kasha. There's a kasha on Rava. Generally speaking, as we know from the Rashbam and Baba Basra, we've learned it many times, that kasha generally is different than tiyufta. Kasha means there's some kind of answer. Tiyufta is there is no answer. Okay, so, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Hamotzi kasher mochsin ad shaloi hero lemoches chayav, misha hero lemoches pater. Okay, so according to Tanakhama, it says as follows. If I have a tax receipt that I have not yet used, I haven't yet shown it to the tax collector to say I get to cross the river, so then I'm chayev if I carry it out because it's a useful piece of paper, it's going to get me across the river, and I'm carrying it on Shabbos, so I'm chayev. Mishahero l'moiches pater. But once I've showed it to the tax collector and I've crossed the river, this is a used receipt, it's good for nothing. So therefore, if I carry it out on Shabbos, I'm not chayav, because it's a useless piece of paper. It's already been used, right? So says so that's a Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af mishayro lemoches chayav mipnei shetzarech lo. No, Rabbi Yehuda says, even once you used it, you're chayav for carrying it out, because you have a use for it. So what's that use? My benayo, Amar Abaya, Ike benayo, Rihiti mochsa. So Abaya says, what's the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're chayav because you need it? So the question is as follows, that Rehite Moso were to be that the tax collector used to have these like enforcers, these runners, it says ruts, and people would run after people, and they would stop them and say, did you pay the tax? And if they didn't pay, they would schlep him back to the guy who collects the tax. So the Tanakhama is of the opinion that, look, people don't walk around with it. They'll risk it. If they get pulled over by these people, so they'll go back and the guy will recognize them and say he paid already. So therefore, it's a useless piece of paper. There's no reason to carry it. Rabbi Huda says, no, people would carry it because that way, if they got stopped by one of these runners, they would say, no, here's the paper. I already paid. So if having the paper, even though once it's already been used, serves you a function, so then you're going to be chayav. So that's Rabbi Huda's opinion. The Chum hold that it has no function. Rava Omer, Rava says, I'll tell you a different reason between them. Moches gadol, moches katan ikabenayu. The difference is, similar kind of answer, is that you used to have a big collector and a little collector. So, the little collector would be, that Rashi says, the guy, the big collector, moches katan, he says, pamim sheis moches gadol shatarech lo laman al gesher kol hayom. The guy became a big cheese already. He collected a lot of money for tolls, and he doesn't want to stand on the bridge all day collecting money, but he doesn't want people to pass without paying. So, memana moches katan, he would appoint a small tax collector. So, normally he would only go to the main guy and show it to him, not the smaller guy. So therefore, he says the receipt is useless because I've already showed it to the big guy and I'm not interested in showing it to the small guy. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it has a usage because you're going to show it to the small guy. Now, Rashi explains, according to the Tanakhama, why are they not worried that he's going to carry it because he wants to show the small guy? Because what would happen? You would pay or you would show the first guy, the big collector, that you've already paid, and he would tell you a code, Rashi says. He would tell you, he would give you simen dvarim, and you would tell that to the small guy. So you would say, open sesame or whatever. He would tell you the code to say to the small guy. So therefore, you don't need the paper. So the paper is useless. So the Tanakhama says, you're not chayav for taking it out. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, no, I'm going to carry the paper, so I'm going to give it to the small tax collector, and therefore I am chayav if I carry it out because it has a function. Rabbi Ashi says, chad mochis ikko. We're not talking about where you have a big collector and a small collector. We're not talking about a guy and his runners. It's all one guy. And nonetheless, the guy holds on to the receipt. Why? So he says, because I have a reason to want to carry an expired receipt. I've already paid the tax. But I still want to carry it. The Tanakhama says, no, it's useless. And Yehuda says, no, I'm going to tell you why I want to carry it. Because these tax collectors were tough guys, right? So it says, Rashi explains that I'd go to a different area with a different tax collector, and if I could show him, I'm the kind of guy who pays the taxes. Don't beat up on me. Don't complain about me. Don't give me a tough time. I'm a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen. So basically, he has an advantage in carrying around this receipt from the first moches, from the first collector, when he gets to the second collector. Not because it satisfies a debt to the second collector, but it shows the second collector, I'm a serious guy who gets things done. Just debating whether I should end here or do the rabbi a favor. All right, I'll try it very quickly. Okay, says the Gemara.
Keep going.
Okay, says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Hamotzi shtar chov ad shelo paro chayav mishaparo pater. So if someone has a shtar chov, but and it hasn't yet been paid, so let's just understand that the typical case would be that the lender has lent money to someone, and I have a shtar, I have a document. Right? So until it's been paid, then if I'm going to go walking out with it, I'm chayav for walking out on Shabbos with this document because it's a useful document. Misha paro, but once it's been paid, pater, because it's a useless document. Once I've been paid, so it's not a useful document. We'll see in a minute what this all means. Rabbi Yehuda says, af misha paro, chayav mipnei shetzarachlo. Rabbi Yehuda says, just like similar to what we said before with the tax receipt, he says, no, even after you've paid the debt, you're chayav if you carry out this piece of paper because you still need the paper. All right, so let's figure out what's going on here. So my binayu, what's the difference between them? And again, we're going to have multiple opinions. Rabbi Yosef says, asur lisho shtar parua ikabinayu. The argument that they're arguing about, which is why they draw a different conclusion is the question of whether you're allowed to hold on to a page star. So Rashi explains, why would you not be able to hold on to a page star? Because it's literally like tempting you. Rashi says, the pasuk in Iyov says, al tashkin be'olecha avlo, that don't have like a sin, avlo, whatever, something like that. Don't have it in your house. Meaning what? If I keep around a star that says Shimon owes me money, and one day I might need money and I'm going to be tempted to go collect from him a second time. So therefore you're not allowed to keep it in your house, right? And the love, the borrower also doesn't want the document to exist because it's because he's worried that maybe the malva, the lender, is going to get it and use it again. So therefore, he wants to just destroy it, the borrower, and the lender is not allowed to keep it in his house halachically. So therefore, it's a useless piece of paper. If you hold that you're not allowed to keep it, so then the lender is not allowed to keep it because it's an avla, and the borrower is not going to want to keep it because he's going to want to destroy it. So this is a useless piece of paper for anyone, and therefore you're not chayav if you carry it out. Versus, so that's what I'm saying, Rabbanan Savri also lishah shtar parua, that it's a worthless piece of paper because the borrower doesn't want it to exist, the lender is not allowed to keep it, so if he takes it out, he's not chayav for otzah. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mutter Lishol Shtar Perua. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to have a Shtar Perua. So therefore, the borrower is going to want it back. Why? Because the borrower is going to use it to be a stopper for his bottle. Meaning if he doesn't want to destroy it, he could use it. So therefore, this is a paper that has value to someone, has value to the borrower. So therefore, you're not allowed. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say this paper has value, and therefore, if you carry it out on Shabbat, you're chayiv because it's not a worthless piece of paper. Abaya says, I'm going to tell you a different reason. The kuliyama asur lishol shtar parua. Everyone holds that you're not allowed to have a page star. So what are we talking about here? V'halchu b'moda b'shtar shekosvu shetzarech l'kayma kamifugi. That they're arguing about the question if someone was admitted that he wrote a star, whether he has to further be mekayim it. What is this talking about? So the halacha is as follows: that if you have a star, and someone comes to me and says, here's my shtar, you owe me this money, and I say, that is that's a false document, right? So what does he have to do? He has to bring witnesses to be mekayim it that can recognize the signatures and say, no, this is a valid document, right? So what happens if a guy comes to me and he's coming to collect, and I say to him, it's true, that's a valid shtar, but I already paid you. So the halacha, it's a machlokas. So one version says, Pesha asur hu pesha hitter. It says, I'm the one who told you it was a valid shtar. You believe me for that, so believe me that it was paid. And therefore, you can't use my admission to collect from me. Others say, look, once I admit it's a valid shtar, so now everyone agrees it's a valid shtar, but then I'm just I'm one witness who says it was paid. So I'm not believed for that. So they're able to take my shtar and my fact that I said it was mine, that makes it real. The fact that I said it was paid, that we ignore. So that's the machlokas, which is a general machlokas. So therefore we're saying, Tanakama Savar Moda B'Shtar Shekosur Tzarech L'Kaimo. That Tanakama holds as follows, that if we're dealing with a case where there are no edim who can validate the shtar, and I said, I wrote it, but I paid it, right? So therefore, if I'm saying it was paid already, and I'm not validating it, so it's a worthless shtar to the lender, because he can't collect with it, because I said, yes, it's mine, but I paid it, so he can't collect with it, so therefore, it's a worthless document, and he's not chayv if he takes it out. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda says, Moda b'shtar shekosvu, ain't tzarech l'kaimo. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that says, no, once I admit it was mine, we're believed that it's a valid shtar, but then I'm not believed to say it was paid already. So therefore, it's a very good shtar for the lender to have. It's valuable because now he can go collect from me because I admitted it's my shtar. I'm not believed that it was paid, and now he can collect from me. So obviously, it's a valuable piece of paper, and if he takes it out on Shabbos, he's going to be chayav for Hilchos Shabbos. So now the Gemara has to deal with one problem according to Abaya's answer here, which is the language of the Braisa doesn't work because the language of the Braisa said, if it wasn't paid, he's chayev. Once it was paid, he's putter. And Rabbi Yehuda said, even once it's paid, he's chayev because he needs it. So the question is, what are we talking about, payment or not? We're talking about whether I'm believed to say that it's paid. So umay achlo paro umishaparo. What is all this language about paying? Top of ayin tesam and aleph. Achi yomer lova parati velo parati. So he says what it means, whether it was paid or not, was whether the lova is saying he's paid it or not. So let's look back for a second. We'll read it as follows. Hamoti shtar chov achlo paro. That if I bring out a shtar chov that I have not yet said. Shaloparo, I have not yet said that it was paid, so therefore I said it was a valid shtar, but I didn't say it was paid, so then it's a good piece of document, chayav. Mishaparo, but once I said it's paid, and I'm gonna not mean I paid, but once I said it's paid, so then pater, according to Tanakam, I'm pater, why? Because I'm believed to say it was paid. Continues Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Am Mishaparo, even when I claim I paid it, he's still chayav if he takes it out. I mean, pnei shetzarchlo, because he has a use for it. What's his use for it? Because since I'm not believed that I paid, so then therefore it's a valuable document because he can use it to collect from me, and therefore he's chayav if he takes it out on Shabbos. Rav Amar, Rav says, the kule alma moed b'shtar shekasa shetzarchlo kaimo. No, that's not what's going on here. Everyone agrees that if I'm believed to say it was my shtar, I'm believed to say it was paid, and therefore it's a useless document if there's no witnesses and I'm not willing to say, and I'm saying it was paid. So then what's the value in the shtar? So that's not the difference that could explain it because there's no machlokas in that. So rather, what's the machlokas here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? Hacha b'kosven shover kamiflagi. That they're arguing about whether you're allowed to write a receipt. Tanakama Sava Kosin Shover, the Tanakama holds you write a receipt, Rabbi Yehuda Sava in Kosin Shover, you don't write a receipt. Let me explain what's going on here. I'm going to explain it according to Rashi. Tosis has a different version, but obviously we have no time for that. It's a little bit hard, it's a little bit of a weird case that the way Rashi learns, but here's the deal. So the halacha is as follows. Let's say I have a shtar, and I that someone owes me money. I can go to him, I bring him the shtar, he pays me, I give him the shtar. That's the ordinary transaction. So the machlokas is as follows. What happens if I lose the shtar? The guy admits that he owes me the money, but he says, look, I'm not paying you until you give me the shtar, right? So the halacha is a machlokas. One view says you can write a shover, you can write a receipt, and then the guy has to pay me. Why? Because he says, well, give me the shtar. I say, I don't have it. He says, well, then I'm not paying you because maybe you'll collect from me a second time. So I say, I'll give you a receipt, and then you'll be able to show the receipt if I ever show up with the shtar and try to claim the money. So what's the issue, though, is that it shifted the burden to me because it used to be that as soon as I got the shtar, I paid him, I got the shtar, I ripped it up, I knew he could never use it again. Now he might have it somewhere. I have to hold on to my receipt. The Gemara says maybe akbarim are going to eat it, maybe mice are going to eat it, and then I'm messed over. So I don't want the receipt. I want to tell him, bring me the shtar, I'm not paying you, I'm not taking a receipt. So one opinion is you can make the guy take a receipt, and the other is you don't make him take a receipt. Okay, so now what's going on here? The way Rashi learns, it's a little bit interesting. He's explaining the cases as follows. I went to Reuven, and I said to him, I said to him, pay me. And he's like, where's the shtar? I said, I don't have the shtar, but I'll get you the shtar. Right? So, he says, okay, fine. I trust you. Here's the money. Get me the shtar. Right? So now the question becomes as follows. According to the way the Rashi understands, he's saying as follows. The Tanakama is of the opinion that you are able to write a receipt. So therefore, and they are of the opinion that you can't hold on to a paid thing. So he says, this document is worthless. Why? Because I don't really need the document. I've already collected the money. And if the guy demands from me his money back and says, you told me you were going to bring me the shtar, you didn't bring me the shtar, I know I can write him a receipt because the Tanakama holds you can write a receipt. So therefore, the document, the actual shtar chov, has no value because for the lender it has no value. He doesn't care if he loses it because he could just write a receipt. The borrower, it has no value because he's not allowed to use it. So this is a document with no value, according to Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion, no, because you're not allowed to write a receipt. So if I went to the guy, I got him to pay me, but only on tonight that I bring him the document. So now, if he's going to say, bring me the document, I say, sorry, I can't find it now, he's going to say, okay, I'm going to say, well, I'll write you a receipt. And I say, I don't want a receipt because according to Rabbi Yehuda, I can say I'm not taking a receipt. So what happens now? Now the document is very valuable for the lender because if he loses it, he's going to have to give back the money. He's going to have to give back the money that the borrower paid him. So it's a little bit of a weird case. That's how Rashi understands the case. Tosus understands differently that he didn't already pay, but we don't have time for dealing with that. But that's the machlokas. The Tanakhama says because you could write a receipt, the main document is worthless, and therefore you're not chai for taking it out. And Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, because you can't write a receipt, it's a very valuable document because otherwise the borrower is going to make me repay the money that he paid me until I produce the document. So it's a valuable document, therefore I'm chayav for taking it out. Last thing, Rashi says, no, what they're arguing about is the following, that the Tanakhama says once it's paid, it's a useless document. So I can carry, if I carry it out, I'm not chayav, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I still, even though it's a paid document, it still has value. Now, all the other cases we were talking about where the lender walked out with the document. Now we're talking about where the borrower walked out with the document. What happened? I borrowed money from Reuven. I paid back Reuven. He gave me the shtar. So normally, the Tanakhama says now it's a worthless piece of document because I would like it to be ripped up because I don't want to ever be collected from me again. So if I go out with it, I'm putter. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he has value. That document has value to me, even though the loan's already been paid and some people might want to destroy it. I don't want to destroy it. Why? Because next time I want to borrow money, I want to go show the guy I'm borrowing money. The Amar Le Chazi Gavar De Parana. You should know that I'm the kind of guy who pays back his debts. See, I had a shtar. Reuven lent me money. I paid him back. I got it back. So now I'm showing it to Levi when I want to borrow money from Levi, and I'm saying, you see, I paid back Reuven, so I'm going to pay you back too. So since it has value to him, because it shows that he's a trustworthy guy who pays back his debts, once the document has value, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayav when you go out into Rishus HaRabim with that document. I'm sorry we went so late. Gutzvach. Nice to see everyone.
Thank you. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov.